We come now to the fencing of the table, which we'll do by reading a few verses of God's word and a few thoughts upon it. And we'll read in Genesis, in chapter 7, first of all verse 1 and then verses 7 to 16. Hear the word of God. Then the Lord said to Noah, "Go into the ark, you and all your household, for I have seen that you are righteous before me in this generation." And in verse 7, "And Noah and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives with him went into the ark to escape the waters of the flood, of clean animals and of animals that are not clean, and of birds and of everything that creeps on the ground. Two and two, male and female, went into the ark with Noah, as God had commanded Noah. And after 7 days, the waters of the flood came upon the earth. In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, on the 17th day of the month, on that day all the fountains of the great deep burst forth, and the windows of the heavens were opened, and rain fell upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. On the very same day Noah and his sons Shem and Ham and Japheth, and Noah's wife and the three wives of his sons with them, entered the ark, they and every beast according to its kind, and all the livestock according to their kinds, and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth according to its kind, and every bird according to its kind, and every winged creature. They went into the ark with Noah, two and two of all flesh, in which there was the breath of life. And those that entered, male and female of all flesh, went in as God had commanded him, and the Lord shut him in." Amen. And the Lord add his blessing to that reading of his own holy word. Now, despite being a historical event that actually happened, the ark and the flood speak to us more eloquently than many things in Scripture about the coming wrath of God against sin, and that there is only one way to be saved. To put it bluntly, Christ is our ark. Those within the ark were saved. Those outside of it perished, not because they weren't nice people — I'm sure many of them were — not because they failed to be religious — I'm sure many of them worshipped all sorts of things, and perhaps some even acknowledged the God of Noah. No, they perished for the simple, solitary reason that they were outside of the ark when the flood came. The door stayed open until God shut it. Noah didn't shut it. Noah spent 100 years building and preparing the ark, and everyone had plenty of time to know why he was doing it. They just didn't believe him. Our Lord tells us in the Gospel that right up till the last day when the flood came, folk carried on with business, buying and selling, building homes, having weddings, looking to a future that in fact they would never have, because they were outside of the ark instead of in it when the flood came. God shut the door when the time had gone. We fence our table today to underline the fact that the ark, our Savior Christ, has an inside and an outside, and there is a clear outward demarcation between the two. The church does not make the boundary. The boundary has always been there. And even in a crofting or farming world, and we're surrounded by farmlands and so on and fields, if somebody were to decide just to uproot their fencing and wiring and move it a few feet into their neighbor's land and just put it all back up again there and just claim a few extra feet, do you think that would be just okay with everyone? I think we just say, "Oh yeah, that's fine, no bother, just do that, because look, there's the fence, so that must be okay." No, the fence is only accepted by neighbours and by crofting commissions and by lands and government because it demarcates an existingly recognised boundary. You're allowed to build a fence or a wall where the boundary actually is, but if you try and steal a few yards of land or push it a wee bit further over, you'll soon hear about it, not least from those who have been defrauded of a wee bit of land. So the demarcation line, the boundary line, whether in the world or in the church, is one that one would be in big trouble if you try to claim territory simply by raising a fence other than existing and recognized and recorded boundary lines. The fence marks what is the outward view to the outward view already the case. It doesn't make it so. You don't simply make something a reality by putting a fence on it. You're only allowed to put the fence where the boundary line actually is. It marks what is already the case. It does not make it so. Higher powers have already determined the boundary. The fence merely marks it. But this, in the case of the Lord's table and the Lord's kingdom, this is a fence with a door, with a gate. Jesus says, I am the door of the sheepfold. And until God finally shuts it at the last day, there is always opportunity to enter in. Just as the ark was the case, you can cross this boundary, you can enter in, just as folk could have if they had so chosen, could have entered into the ark while there was still time. They could have believed Noah that it could have gone into the ark right up until the last day when God finally shut the door. You can go through the door. You can cross the fence because there is a gate. But then you are inside instead of outside. But you can never be in both categories at the same time. You must be, by definition, one or the other. But you can come in, because until God shuts it, the door is open. And as with entering into the ark, life will never be the same again. I don't imagine life in the post-flood world was anything like it had been in the pre-flood world, but it is life, and it is life that you will have in Christ. It will be unlike any life you had before without Christ, only it will be richly improved. It will be infinitely better. It will be life in all its fullness, albeit completely different from the life before. It will be life in all its fullness because he has died. Christ has died that we might have such a life. And this is all about Christ. It's not about us. This is all about Christ. And this is his table that we now prepare. And you are welcome to his table if you will have him as your Savior. It is right for us today to demarcate the fence. But it is right also for us to say that we are not the gatekeepers. Christ is the door by which if any will enter in, they may go in and out and find pasture. They may sit at his table and receive his good gifts. And it is right for us likewise to invite all that would put their trust in Christ as their Savior so to come. Even if this is the moment at which you think, yes, that's what I should be. That's what I should do. This is your opportunity. Session will still be happy to meet with you. Maybe I'm speaking for them here, but I'm sure they'll be happy to meet with you and still take time to ask you about your faith in Christ and to receive you into the number of the members of the Church of Jesus Christ. They will be happy to deal with you even now at this late hour, because the door is still open, but the fence is there. And you are invited to join with Christ if you will have him as your Savior. But make no mistake, Christ is our ark, and you can only ever be on the inside or on the outside. One day the rain will start. One day the floods will come. If that is not yet, then give thanks to God that he has given you still another opportunity. So let us pray.